So,
yep.
The push. Yeah.
All right, so
smarter than the technology.
All this meeting, the regular meeting of the Human Rights Commission, Salt Lake City Human Rights Commission meeting for Thursday, March 15th, 2018, called to order. Present is Commissioner Jason Wessel from District 1. You guys want to go around and...
Moana Uluaveha Foka, Diversity Human Rights Office.
Marilee Carter, Mayor's Office.
Fatima Derry, Diversity and Human Rights Office.
Shauna Dumbia, Commissioner, District 7.
Okay, so as I was saying before, we have we have to use the agenda from the meeting that we scheduled last month, but we're not able to hold for lack of a quorum. So a lot of the business is a holdover from last month, and I believe the month before. So we have somewhere on the agenda, we're going to have to make sure that we approve the meeting minutes from those meetings that are still outstanding. But first item on the agenda is welcome. Acknowledge the public. We don't have any members of the public present, so we can move on that. That's the public comment phase. January minutes, did we include that in the packet?
Yes, it's just the second one.
All right.
Right underneath the agenda.
Anybody need time to review them still?
No.
I sent them through the email as well.
Yes.
So I can entertain a motion to adopt the minutes from January as they are.
Yeah, I move that we adopt.
All right. Is there any second to adopt? No.
Right.
Generally, chair doesn't make motions or second motions unless it's necessary. So I'm trying to be...
I think it's...
Normal.
Yeah. I think it's necessary for this.
All right, so I will second the motion that we adopt the the minutes from January. I think that's unanimous.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
We're going to overview.
Overview, yes.
I can.
Yeah, you want to take over?
Yeah.
Because you prepared everything for this, so I'll hand it off to Moana to go over the item two in the agenda.
So thanks, Jason. In your packet, and I'm going to provide this for every new incoming commissioner since we are starting fresh. I just wanted to make a note that I was sent an email by Martin earlier this week, and he also as well stated that due to his family responsibilities to a lot of his kids' games and things fall on the same evening, that he really wanted to be on the Human Rights Commission, but will be unable to continue forward. So I want to give a quick update on that. Right now we are waiting for our District 6. The mayor has already put forward a name, so we're waiting for the council to approve District 6 commissioner, and we're actively looking for the other four districts. We have about six or seven applications, actually more than the four, and I'm just coordinating those things to meet up. But if you know anybody else that also is interested, let me know in serving and has this time free to consistently come.
And I did actually reach out to a few folks who are active in the community to let them know if they're interested to look at the website and look at the description and let me know if they're interested, then I can forward them your information.
And and if they end up just applying online on their own, either way, or I can help them fill it out. And if they do, then just let me know their names so I can look up their applications. And then the other part is a few questions came up and about not only we've had all these discussions about the advisory role, and I just wanted to bring the actual chapters here so that everyone can read them and interpret them for themselves, but also I wanted to reference them for the questions that were asked. So Under Chapter 2.07, City Boards and Commissions, it works together with our Human Rights Commission. So the Chapter 10.02 is specific to our Human Rights Commission, but anything that is not mentioned here, we fall back on the City and Boards and Commissions rules. So, for instance, this kind of the Chapter 10 gives like the scope and specifics for the Human Rights Commission, but in general for appointments and those who step down and how the mayor appoints and then the council is the one who will confirm. It has it listed here in City and Boards and Commission. It also has how long we... how long a person is in office. A commissioner has time to be a commissioner. And these were all updated in 2012, I believe. So I wanted to point out a couple of things for the Human Rights Commission. So for 2.07120, election of board officers, since we no longer have a chair, all that it states within our ordinance is each city board shall select one of its members as chair and another member as vice chair, who shall perform the duties of the chair during the absence or disability of the chair of the chair. So with that, we would just have to vote in a new chair. And that's the, and then we would only need a quorum, which is the majority who are appointed to that city board. And so when we make that decision, a quorum just has to be present. If we would like to pursue that at this meeting when Nicole gets here, that could be an option. Rebecca will be here next month, but any of those decisions can happen even with the two of you here. And then the other question that we had prior to this was, if you can see in the Human Rights Commission, it defines what the powers and duties of this committee is. And I just want to go through them in terms of, just for clarification, and everybody can read them and interpret them. But ongoing review of ordinances or policies, so the commission shall make recommendations to the mayor and the council regarding the commission's ongoing review of ordinances and policies, use of educational resources on issues of discrimination and equal treatment, review of complaints of discrimination involving city departments or city services for the purpose of identifying the possible systemic or institutional sources of such instances of discrimination, 4, review of legislation, policies, or other actions by the city designed to further the elimination of prejudice and discrimination. 5, review any pending legislation, policy changes, or other city action that may impact human rights and relations. 6, research conducted or factual data obtained within budgetary constraints on the status and treatment of diverse populations and the best ways to improve human relations, to eliminate discrimination, and to secure full and equal participation. 7, investigation of opportunities to collaborate with other groups to foster non-discrimination education. 8, work in partnership to foster positive intergroup relations by instituting and conducting educational programs. And 9, actions as a resource at the request of community councils. So those are the powers and duties of this commission. And then the other interesting part, because we had this discussion too, Jason, about how reporting back and forth with the mayor's office. The only thing that it says with the commission is in B, if you look at B, the commission shall report to the council and the mayor no less than once a year on its activities, recommendations, and findings concerning matters on human rights and non-discrimination policies. The report shall be in writing and made public. So that was something that I was like, okay, it says at least once, but having a report of some sort would be, in terms of when we talked about scope and
right.
Action, that that's a culminating. And I see that as an annual report, too, that would come out of the commission. But, of course, you all are the commission right. and can make that distinguish.
And do you have any record of when the last report was provided to the mayor?
I do not with me at this meeting. Jason, do you have any institutional?
I am not sure.
In terms of writing in public, I mean, that was made in writing.
I'll say the last 6 months of the commission has been kind of a roller coaster.
but prior to that, because you've been serving for a couple of years.
Getting close to, but prior to that, I believe Kilo Zamora, the former chair, had handled the report when I first came on. Honestly, I spent the first year on the commission just trying to figure out what we do. So
I'm glad we're doing this now for Shauna and for Nicole, because she'll be able to take the packet home.
I was kind of lost for the first several months, not really trying to figure out what my role was and what the commission is supposed to do. So I mean, this is all interesting, but I know that from what the mayor has said to us in meetings, what she really would like is for us to be able to produce actionable material.
And that's what prompted my initial questions that I sent last week via email, because I do want to have us come up with, I really would like to make sure when we talk about, well, we're going to tackle an issue, and I'll use the example of affordable housing. Well, what specifically do we want to tackle? What does that look like? What is the scope of what changes we can affect or recommendations we can make within the confines of this commission? And are those recommendations, I mean, quite frankly, I can make recommendations till I'm blue in the face, but I want to make sure I'm making those actionable requests. And beyond the scope of the commission, this is for my clarification purposes, where do those recommendations go from there? I'm a little nervous about going off into the round filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm. No, I understandable. So give you a little bit of background on how things went before. It seemed to me when I first came on board that the commission was sort of chasing current events rather than leading on things. So it was month by month responding to the Orlando nightclub shooting or something like that. And there wasn't really any kind of focus or direction. And then it kind of morphed into a confrontational relationship. And that kind of dominated everything. So the reorientation, I think, that started in, I think, December was the idea about us getting back to figuring out broad view, what is the topics that we want to explore, and then we're going to try to narrow that down to something actionable based on what information we get from it. So that's why we kind of divided up by topics by having somebody take point on it, so that you can kind of get the broad view and then bring it to the rest of the commission, and then we can figure out what's practical, what's not practical, what is something that's within the scope of the commission, what can be recommended to the mayor's office as an ordinance, or it would be an executive order type situation. But it's all kind of taking big picture ideas and distilling them down to something, but we also have to have a quorum. We have to start having meetings and stuff. I hope that helps.
I really do feel like this commission is moving in very positive motion the last several months, just in that we are starting to define things better and be more actionable, and I'm definitely all for that.
I think part of it, too, is that those conversations of what, like, as I see my role is that, say, okay, we talk about the affordable housing, and not that I just give you information or say this is what the mayor wants, but we have those types of conversations in these meetings, and then we figure out if this is actually actionable. Well, yeah. And then I say, oh no, the parameters for that, what I've found out through the lawyers and X amount of people, that can't be placed as policy, but we can go in terms of, say, an executive order. And that's kind of how I feel like I participate in this as a guide for that, right, as a city representative in the mayor's office, okay, is that I can push you into those directions. Mm-hmm. But I see also, like, it talks about getting the pulse of the community in a way that you all would know more so than me in many ways. So if it is affordable, we can use that as an example. Affordable housing, we currently have a plan, but what does that plan look like on the ground? And what are you hearing, Shauna, that maybe the mayor herself isn't?
And that's my concern, you know, living in District 7, and I some of my neighbors and or, you know, fellow football, soccer moms I have these conversations that I'm unfortunate. I spend a lot of time lobbying for affordable housing, and wouldn't it be nice if we had this? I had that Somali refugee neighbor or something else, and have that diversity in faces and all of that thing in my neighborhood. And quite frankly, it's something I've been asking and lobbying for the last 18 years. However, I hear on a regular basis, that's really nice in theory, but not in my neighborhood. Mm. And I'm not sure how the commission can, that's my biggest challenge with that topic in particular, is how does this commission get past that, and what can we do to not get to the point where we have our fellow citizens out with their pitchforks, because we've made recommendations that...
So if back well before my time, the stories I've heard of how when the commission was functioning very well and firing on all cylinders, when they were advocating for the non-discrimination ordinance for the city, they were invested with the ability to... They held public meetings on the subject. They were going out into the public, holding the meetings, discussing with the public what this meant and what it didn't mean, to kind of clear up some of the misconceptions about it. And this was before the mayor at the time did a big push to try to get it passed. So that was something that that hopefully we can get back to that point where we can be on the same page with the city council, with the mayor's office, and kind of run point on an issue, get the discussion going before it becomes a political issue that then the mayor's office or the city council has to take on. So,
right.
So that's one example of something that we can do, is that when we know that there's an issue that we want to try to make headway on, we're a citizens board, so we don't have the power of the mayor's office or the liabilities of the mayor's office behind it.
Right.
So just one example that was.
I think that's a fantastic, and anything we can do to get a better feel and educate the population of the city as much as possible, I think is a great idea. Because if we've got the mayor behind a podium make an announcement, I am hoping that it's good news and not having to talk the citizens of the city down off the proverbial ledge.
Mm-hmm. On specifically on the issue of affordable housing, I think that. Once we have a better grasp on what the state of things are, we have the data and the numbers behind it, we can go out and talk about what the availability of affordable housing is versus income in the city, how the new developments that are going in are giving lip service to affordable housing, but we just see for every one complex with affordable housing that goes in, there's three luxury condo developments going in.
Yeah, we've got a 24-story luxury building being built, and
or the big developments, there are places that start at 600K plus a year, or they're,
yeah, I can't people. Even afford anything. Will we get afford when you're right
but
out
that,
of
cost? That's the point, is that if we have the data, we can go out and say that, do we really need to have another luxury condo development go in place? Can we get the public behind the idea that 15% of this development needs to be something in the affordable range type?
Well,
that's just me brainstorming.
Along those lines, you know, the 21st and 21st area is an area that the city has talked about developing more, to get a bit more to a 15th and 15th type feel. And I happened to attend the city council meeting While that was open for public conversation, and it was, again, I'll use the phrase "not in my neighborhood" attitudes were what was there, and you know, I'm familiar with that area. There is, when you step back just a little bit on 21st East, going a little bit north, so in the 20th to 21st South block area, there are three apartment complexes that are, I won't say low income, but they're very much in the more affordable range for many people. However, right next to them, there are some luxury condos that start at $500,000. Mm. And I see that. And, you know, in the conversations, people are like, if there's going to be multiple unit housing built, they want those luxury condos. They don't want the affordable apartments. And those affordable apartments are fantastic. They're right next to Dilworth Elementary School. That's exactly what that area needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's, I guess we're on the questions and comments part of the overview of the ordinance. So, yeah, so anything back on the scope and scale of what we're supposed to do, or has that kind of got you?
I think that helps me a bit. I feel like I'd like to nail it down a bit, but perhaps.
So my vision, and you know, mine's not the only one that matters, that just part of the commission as well, was that each of us takes that area of responsibility, and once we have some point person on it that's better informed on the subject, we as the commission then figure out what parts of that are things that we can have an impact on, and then we come up with an action plan together. Okay. And we move forward with it. But
if you all want me to bring, for instance, I don't know, maybe in the past they have, but since the commission is newer, Melissa Jensen, or one of her, one of the people in her division that wrote up the current plan, so they can ask more in depth questions, then that's something I can do, and bring them here.
And since the affordable housing is the piece that I volunteer to take, I'll actually, in the interest of time of the commission, I'll reach out to her. That way, I can really do the deep dive and ask my 12 and 300 questions, and really ask, and rather than trying to do it in the confines of our limited time.
I mean, if you get a better grasp of what the mayor's plan is moving forward,
right,
with her two, four,
and Melissa was the one, they were the ones that made the whole plan.
And that initial email,
our role can be to help.
That initial email you sent out to me, the website, and I apologize, it's on my email. I don't recall the point person that's listed there. I don't believe it wasn't Melissa. It was someone else. Maybe someone on her staff.
Maybe. I think I sent you links to the mayor's office point person and the city council's point person. So,
And I did reach out, and I've not heard back, and I'll reach out again.
Do you want me to connect you with Melissa?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay. I can connect you with Melissa.
Yeah, my general rule of thumb is I'll reach out virtually a couple of times, and then I'll determine where someone's office is and give them a call.
And I believe that the person from the city council, the city council oversees the RDA board as well, and that kind of is another whole rabbit hole of information on the topic.
I've found that rabbit hole because I started reading it. I read what was available for the city. I pulled back and I read more on the subject in general, what other cities of comparable size have been doing, and then what large cities are doing on that topic. And it is a rabbit hole of information, which led to my question of what is our scope, because I've gone into this maze of information.
Yeah, so the best I can say is that's kind of, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, is getting a handle on the topic so that you can come to us with the ideas, and then we can figure out together what is the most practical thing for us to do moving forward and how we can contribute the best.
Okay.
And I think that goes under, like, the ongoing review of ordinances and policies, and then you researching that factual data. It's all feeding into that. The other piece that would be interesting, too, is I think Jason told me that he reached out to the council as well. And even if that is necessary, because you're reporting to not just us as the mayor, but also as the council.
Now going on a year and a half ago, I did meet with a couple of the council members to figure out what it is they saw as the major human rights issues, and affordable housing was definitely on their list. We tried to work out with them trying finding out if they could send somebody to our meetings and whether we should attend city council meetings or have a member of our commission attend the city council meetings. And it kind of fizzled out when chairs changed and things kind of got a little loose around the edges. I went to two or three of the city council meetings and stuff like that, but we haven't had anybody from the city council come to us the entire time I've been here.
And I know they post videos of the city council meetings. Do they stream those live by chance?
I've listened to it, I believe, live or just slightly behind live.
Yeah, okay.
But I haven't seen the video. I've only listened.
I have watched
the videos.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, they record it. I've seen them record it every single time. I don't know what frequency or what channel it's on. But I can find that out too.
It's on the website. I know it's on the website.
Oh,
but yeah, as far as just seeing the videos, but after the fact, I've seen the videos posted. I'm not sure about what if the live stream. That would be helpful too.
City council stream.
So it probably is in our best interest to reach out to city council again and get an update on human rights issues again. I imagine quite a bit has changed over the last year.
Council member, what's his name?
Chris
Wharton.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah. I was like, she said Chris. I don't want to say his first name because we're always trying to address him as Wharton. I was like, I know his first name, just his last name. Since he already was on the commission, that may be one of the best people to connect with because he sees the value of how valuable that the Human Rights Commission has been, and he's a human rights lawyer.
Yeah, he was in finishing up his last couple of months when I first came on, so I know Chris Wharton pretty well.
Yeah, Wharton, council member. Okay, if that's the questions and answers. Oh, and that last piece was we were talking about changing the meeting time.
Ah, okay. I thought, is that on our agenda or is that something we put in here?
Nope, I have it at the end, but I can wait till the end. I already answered the chair election procedure and annual report. Do you want me to go over the change?
The change?
The time change?
If you wish, go ahead.
Just because it's in here.
All right.
You asked if that was possible, and all it says in the ordinance is meetings. The commission shall meet no less than quarterly, and then the annual meeting schedule shall be set at the first regular meeting after the third Monday in January of each year. Which I was like, okay, first Monday, first regular meeting after the third Monday in January of each year. So to my understanding of that, we can make the annual meeting schedule and set it for...
But it has to be after the third Monday in January of each year, we're allowed to make the annual meeting schedule?
Yeah.
All right.
So we can make it now because it's after the third. When I read it, I'm like, okay, just after the third Monday is what they mean.
Technically, this is our first meeting
since the third Monday of January. I
was more about, I think my question was what we needed to do about public disclosure about a change in time, because we have to update not just update the public announcement, but we also have to post it like on the website, all that kind of stuff.
And
so
then,
that's what I wanted to make sure that we had know what the procedure is.
And that's the one that's in. So everywhere it says that it doesn't have that in, it says to reference the Utah State Code. So in the Utah State Code, it tells us that we just have, if it happens to change, we just have to put that on where I post all of our meeting notes for the annual. It has to meet regularly, but I would post that on our meeting.
Okay,
page.
And I would just encourage you to make sure you run down all the other places too, like the website and the. Sometimes there's contradictory information when things don't get updated. So.
Oh yeah, and we're launching the new website, so all of that. Fatima and I are redoing the whole website as well, so we would update all that information.
All right.
And then in terms of this room, it's open on that first. It was the first Tuesday at 5:30, right?
Tuesday. Okay. First Tuesday of the month is what it worked for. I think everybody said that they were available that day. The next was the second Tuesday, I believe, would be the next most popular date. I might be able, I can pull up the poll if you need me to, but it's, nobody got back to me saying that that first Tuesday was bad. So,
okay.
I think I'm about 95% sure that if we are changing the date and time, it's to the first Tuesday of the month, 5:30, because I believe that
Nicole couldn't come earlier.
Nicole was the only one who had wished that we have the 6:30 start time, but everybody else had put 5:30 as their preference.
Right. And yours is 5:30 as well.
Sure. Yeah, because I have, well, if we're changing to a Tuesday, it wouldn't matter. So, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. So Tuesday is better anyway.
Honestly, yeah, it's fine. And it, once it's, I tend to, my meeting times work-wise tend to bump up right about that time. But since we're booking our meetings out, I can rearrange my schedule to accommodate.
Okay. I think if Nicole, or when Nicole gets here, we can ask her on the final, but I just wanted to let you know that that's what it said in ordinance. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece was I've already, I have a hold on this room, okay. So we'll still be able to meet on the first Tuesday at 5:30 to 7:30. Mm-hmm. So if that changes, let me know, but I have that hold for next month. And
yeah, should be good.
Rebecca was all for changing it for that first Tuesday because it worked better for her schedule as well. So we would have a better chance of having everyone here.
Yeah, so the only obstacle that we would have would be if 5:30 was completely impossible for Nicole. We would then debate whether or not 6 o'clock or 6:30 would work for everybody else as well. I didn't get the impression from what she has said in the past that 5:30 is impossible. It just makes it like this, where if she has arbitration or something, she might have to come a little bit late.
Because she was here early last month. And then, yeah, I think that's her. Okay. That was all I had to say.
Okay.
Jason.
No worries.
And in terms of voting for a new person, I would leave that up to you all. I'm just giving you what the information in the ordinance is and the parameters.
All right. Well, I guess we're on to item 3 then, status update. We'd put 2 minutes per person. I thought that, didn't you wish for more time than 2 minutes last month? Or was...
I think it was Nicole.
Nicole wished for more than two minutes.
But,
all right.
But at this point, yeah, I'm not sure I have much more than 2 minutes worth of information.
Okay,
because, again, I've gone down these rabbit holes, and I can give you 2 hours worth of information. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes is a bit...
Yeah. Well, if you just want to do the elevator pitch then on where you are now, and then tell us what you think, what you might need from us.
Well, and I'll just go back again to regarding the affordable housing in particular. I'm just at a bit of a loss at what the commission feels, what change we can affect, what actionable items we can recommend. And I guess that is, I do need to understand what the city ordinances are for that, because as I mentioned before, I don't want something coming out of us making recommendations to the mayor's office and then being implemented and having the citizens of the cities be irate. Your comment of before of having the meetings and outreach to the community, I think is a fantastic idea, because that's really a big part of it, is that education is a huge piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the conversation on more than one occasion that having the diversity, both socioeconomic, but then also diversity in any other form of how it can present itself, it makes neighborhoods stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely a proponent of that. Certainly not everyone agrees with me, and that's certainly their prerogative, but I do think any recommendations we can make and education along those lines would be really important.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I would just recommend that find out what the mayor's office goals are, what the city council's plan/goals are, and find out what obstacles they are facing where we might be of some use. You know, some service that as not elected representatives, how we can perhaps accomplish something that they're running into difficulty with. So that would probably be the advice I would give. Just everything we've gone over
before.
Well,
and as far as what's been put for the city council's office, they put their bullet points up on their website, and they've got their really large bullet points out there. But yeah, I'll do the deeper dive to find out where they really are with that. And I think to do that, as I mentioned before, I'll start knocking on more doors and see if I can really get it more detailed than those talking points.
I think when I spoke with James Rogers and Stan Penfold about a year and a half ago, one of the brainstorming things I had was, how is it that when you have something like that goes through like the HUD process, you know, housing and urban development, they always attach federal money is attached to a certain percentage has to be for low income. Is there a equivalent on the state or municipal level that the same kind of ordinance could be in place? And that was something that was just kind of left hanging that I never found out more information about. So
I can hand
that off to you if there's something on the RDA level or the municipal level where you can require for zoning purposes or something require a certain percentage of affordable housing per unit or something per development, you know, per certain number of units per development or something like that. That's sort of the way that federal program works, just on a local level might be something to explore, or it might be something everybody's already thought of and rejected in the past. I don't know.
And we have a few developments in the city like that. However, I know in my district there's few and far between.
Yeah. As far as I know, that's only a stipulation that comes with federal federal money.
Are you talking about like CDBG grants or
something like that? I know that Gateway was one of them.
Right, and that's the one I was thinking, you know, and I think that's fantastic. You know, we had that giant, you know, they filled in that, what we called the sugar hole, that building on, that giant fantastic building on 21st and Highland with the extremely expensive apartments and condos. So, yeah, no, nothing affordable there either. Mm-hmm. Everything that's being built in that entire area is.
All right. So then there was questions about the gender equity tool or the human rights scoring tool. I honestly can't say anything about it because they were projects that the council already had when I came on, and I have seen no progress with either one of them. So.
And this is something that when Moana and I met in person a while ago, a conversation I had of my question came up as, we can make these recommendations for individual departments to use in the city. However, if there's no requirement, no reporting requirements that can be attached to these recommendations, then it's a bit of a tiger with no teeth.
And I'm wondering, even with the, oh, that's what I ended in term added here, was about the mayor just signing the gender pay equity policy in terms of that, and maybe looking at this is something that did go into policy.
Right.
Maybe what we do is you look at this as an example, and if we're the human rights scoring, or I'm not sure because I wasn't here as well, if we're moving towards something like that, because
my understanding was that it was purposely something without teeth because it wasn't meant to be a coercive device. It was meant to be a tracking device so that the departments in the city could self-monitor to know where they...
I'll be honest, I don't see the value in something like that when departments have the opportunity to self-monitor, because when your numbers look great, you report, and when they don't, you don't.
I would agree. I believe that I am forgetting the track record now, but we looked at a few other cities. I think that Los Angeles under, was it Garcetti or Los Angeles had a pretty robust program that they put in place, but most other cities shied away from having.
I actually, one person I did get to, who replied to me was someone in Chicago. And they attempted it several years ago, and I was told it was an astounding failure. What's the phrase used?
So then I'm wondering, too, with the new commission that we have, then maybe coming up with ideas that would address these similar things that are not necessarily have to be that, if that's the research you're finding.
Well, we've got other things, and like when we met in person, we also discussed even diversity training and things along those lines. I'm afraid, however, that may fall into the same category of we can make fantastic recommendations, but what I want to make recommendations again that are actionable and, quite frankly, that hold our city and the agencies within the city their feet to the fire a bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think too with the that could be helpful for me in my position, because I think that diversity training is important, but the type of training is important to me as well, or the quality of it, where it's like you're making your recommendations saying, not just saying, oh, we have to have X amount of people as representation. I'd rather have transformational, where it's like, okay, people are thinking about changing the way they look at the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then also sustainable, where I will come and go, or this commission will come and go, but we have in place a system where diverse types of people are coming in and out of the city, or able to work in the city, being mentored through the city, getting hired, like on all different levels. So it just becomes a culture, part of the culture.
Yeah.
So we could explore that if that's something that you're
And I'll reach out. I bumped into someone, and I apologize. I've forgotten the department. I know it's a sociology-related department who worked up at the university, who's talked about her experiences with these tools. Maybe I'll tap on her shoulder a bit and see if I can get some, at least an academic recommendation as well.
That'd be excellent. It's completely outside of my wheelhouse on really even knowing they've worked.
And when we've, you know, have something like this, you know, I'm having, along these lines, I'm seeing the urgent need for it when I'm having people reach out to me on several different levels, struggling to feel like they're encountering bias in job interviews in the city.
In what was that? Sorry, didn't hear.
Job interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to interview for jobs within the city and feeling like they're encountering bias on many different levels. It's not just one category or group. And, you know, if we can, and in some cases, not just local businesses, but with, and again, I realize that that's perception and that's perceived bias. However, I'd like to be able to say, well, we've got some of these things in place, and what can we do that, again, that's actually actionable rather than something that it's a policy that gets put on a shelf and broken out once a year to,
right,
so they can say they've met requirements. Yeah,
I agree.
Anything else that you wish to talk about on your...
No.
Okay. My police use of force, the idea I had was that I'd run by Chief Brown and the mayor, and they were both receptive and positive to the idea, was that the police use of force report that took about 2 years to be compiled, and a lot of time and energy went into it, got adopted, I think, in November, and published, I think it got release to the public, at least online, after that, is that it be a living document that gets added to every year with an update, so that you have an addendum that's added to it of here are what the numbers that came in this year, with maybe one page on what goals were met this year and what the goals are for the next year, so that they can the Salt Lake City Police Department can keep it alive, keep it going, be proactive, and it'll solve the... it will address the issue of transparency, because they have this document they can point to and say that we proactively keep track of this information and we share it with the public, and it'll show that they are doing something with the information by having goals. I think that'll go a long ways towards one of the major contentious issues between the police department and the public is anytime that there is a public affairs crisis, there's accusations of lack of transparency. So I think this helps the police department. It helps the public. Everybody Absolutely. Can come together and say that at least be looking at the same data when they're talking about the issues. So the next step moving forward, I need a point person from the police department and the mayor's office to figure out how we actually facilitate this and get this done so that this becomes an annual or a biannual process where everybody knows that this needs to be added to a specific date or time every year. Still haven't gotten Moana might have an update on that for who I need to meet with, but I have spoken with three police officers that are part of my own interpersonal network about the feasibility of it, and they're not real happy with it because they think it looks like kind of questioning them doing their jobs, but they say that the reporting changes to the way that they file reports and collect information has changed over the last few years to the point where they think that it's heading in this direction anyway and it's going to be happening sooner rather than later. So
right.
I don't know if something's happening internally with the police department or with the mayor's office where they're kind of moving in this direction that I'm encouraging them to anyway. So really, it's just kind of, hopefully it's just, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and we formalize it, but...
Fantastic.
Did you have something to add, Moana?
So I was talking to Jen about this as well, Jason, and part of her suggestion was also us correlating with or working with the community activist group that meets twice a month as well. So the police department has to, does many things with the CAG. And now she's having me also, I'm going to be attending those meetings. And when I was attending those meetings, I was thinking, well, a lot of the stuff that they're discussing in those meetings, Jason and the Human Rights Commission has addressed them, but I don't know if that communication has happened other than through the admin level. And so one of those suggestions was for us to link up with them because that's their specific work that they're doing, and at those meetings as well, a point person is already at them. The chief goes, I think, once a month, and then he has two of his deputy chiefs there always. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can continue our conversations as well as the request and do it in one place. If I don't know if you want to meet there or you want me to bring information, but that's one way we can address it. And then the second part is I can bring it back up to Jen in terms of what we want to do with the addendum. I've shared that with her as well. And I know I didn't know that part, the piece that you said you spoke with the mayor and the chief and they were all for the addendum.
When they first adopted the use of force report, they sent us a letter, delivered it at our meeting, saying it was going to be made public. I asked the chief and the mayor if we could turn it into a living document and keep it alive, be added to, and they both said they thought it was a good idea. It was at just one of our regular Human Rights Commission meetings. So,
okay. I'll remind them of that.
I'm not sure that's that's not officially binding or anything, but they both said it was a good idea. So I've been building on that as, okay, so we've got at least some buy-in to the idea. So
okay.
What I'd like to do is build on that and find a way to make it actually happen. As for the community action group, I think I'd like to have a little bit of progress on the shape of this before we go to them, because I've found that they're frequently rather adversarial in their approach to the police department. And if we end up having this get lumped in with the idea of being more of a way to implement a watchdog or like an oversight rather than it be neutral, just a way to have transparency. Mm-hmm. I don't want to build a build an obstacle where one doesn't need to exist. So okay. That's why my concern is that if we get the buy-in from community action group before we discuss the shape of it with the police department and the mayor's office, we end up perhaps making it seem like it's more of a hostile idea than it's intended to be.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I can see your perspective from there. That's different.
And can I ask for that use of force report, what type of items would that include? Complaints is all complaints, or?
I believe it might have a copy of it with me.
I think there's a digital copy as well that I can send you, Shauna, too.
Anyway, the use of force report was an overview of a lot of data and interpretation of that data from the police department and a whole lot of other departments weighed in on it. It wasn't entirely comprehensive, but it was pretty close. So
okay.
There was definitely hundreds of hours of work product put into it to produce the data sets that they had. And after spending all that time and energy compiling it, I thought it would be better served for the city, the police department, and the Human Rights Commission to keep it going rather than in 5 years have to do a new one from scratch. So,
oh, absolutely.
So that's where we're at on that.
No, I think you're... Unfortunately, having it being a living document is perfect.
I dropped my folder getting out of my van, so nothing is where it's supposed to be anymore. So everything's just kind of in a pile here, but... I can find the electronic copy, or Moana can find the electronic copy and get it to you if you want to see it. But anyway, my update is I'm still kind of in the same place we were 2 months ago, just trying to figure out who to meet with to move this forward another step.
And I'll let Jen know about we'll have that discussion as well, about the different approaches. I hear you.
Yeah, and I know that the people at CAG are very passionate about it, but their meetings tend to devolve into a lot of finger pointing, and they have a lot of very passionate people who are still trying to get answers on some of the police shootings that were adjudicated 2 and 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Sorry. Any questions or concerns or anything on
And I appreciate, again, the clarification. That really helps and keep me from diving down too many rabbit holes and be a little more pointed in my research.
All right. I believe if I can back up for just one moment, we were going to ask Rebecca to take CEDAW since Denise has resigned.
Yep.
So... I suppose Rebecca will have to... Rebecca knows many of the... Sorry. I guess she's not Representative Chavez Houck anymore.
No.
Commissioner Chavez Houck is already familiar with many of the stakeholders and people involved in this issue, so I don't think it will take her too much to get up to speed on it. I can try my best to let her know what we've done so far, but... I do get the impression that there has not been a whole lot of progress coming out of us for about 6 months. I mean, we had a a working group that was meeting for a while, but it kind of started to fall apart in October, November, and I don't think there has been a meeting since then. So whatever work product we had in October is probably as far as we are right now.
And I met the CEDAW... the woman who's in charge of CEDAW here, and her name is escaping me.
I think I know who you're talking about.
I have no idea. It's later in the day. but I'm supposed to meet with her later in the month with Jen, because Jen knows her, so.
Okay. So CEDAW, that's where we're at. Hopefully Rebecca will be able to pick that up and hit the ground running. Martin has, I guess, resigned as well, so we're going to have to address diversity recruitment. I can try and take up some of the slack on that and find out what's going on. I know that's a big push that's happening in the mayor's office itself, so I think that if I can at least get up to speed on what they're doing, we can figure out what our role in that will be.
Okay. John? Okay.
Nicole is still not here, so I guess we'll have to push item 6 to next meeting as well on homelessness, Operation Rio Grande. I think she met, she's held some meetings over the last 6 weeks, so I think that's why she needed more time than just 2 minutes to go over it all. So item 6, I think, will have to be pushed to the next agenda.
Oh, she just... So, let me see if she can still conference call. You can have her on. Hey, Nicole, we're here. You're on speaker. I just saw your text message and wanted you to just at least catch the last part of our meeting. If that was all right.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Here you go. Jason.
All right. So, Nicole, this is Jason speaking. We just were going over the agenda items, and I wanted to suggest that we push your briefing on people experiencing homelessness on Operation Rio Grande and your update to us on your meeting with David and the mayor. We can push that to the next meeting if you would like to be here in person to cover it.
Either is fine. Yeah, I'm okay with either option, whichever you guys prefer.
Do you too?
I think it's easier to go over things, I think, in person. So if we can put you, we'll put you first item on the agenda next meeting and give you, will 15 minutes work?
Yeah, that should be fine. And I really want to apologize for this. This mediation was set about 4 months ago before I was even on the commission. This was all set. So I'm really sorry about this. I'm not going to have any more mediation scheduled on whichever day we pick.
I think we're going to be doing Tuesdays at 5:30 seemed to be the time that everybody said worked best for them.
Okay, I'll make sure in my calendar that my assistant doesn't put any mediations on those dates.
Okay, first... first Tuesday of the month at 5:30. Excellent.
At 5:30. Okay. So do you want to make that in effect for next meeting?
We'd have to hold... Well, actually, you're on the phone now. We can vote. We've got three commission members here, so we can hold a vote and decide. I will entertain a motion to adopt the first Tuesday of every month at 5:30 as our official meeting time. Anybody want to make that motion?
I'll make that.
All right. Sean has made that motion, and Nicole has seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. All three of us are for it. So our new meeting time will be the first Tuesday of every month at 5:30 p.m.
Okay, and I'll change that, and we'll let Rebecca know that it's moved to Tuesday, and she was pushing for it as well, even though she's not here.
All right, so also a brief update. Martin has also resigned, so we're at four commissioners right now. So anyway, with that you're the last item on the agenda, so we're going to push that to the next meeting. Our next item would be open dialogue. Do you have anything you wanted to bring up?
No, where are we at with recruiting new commissioners?
We have one. What I just shared was we have one for 6 that's coming through. Her name is Kim. And I called your friend. I haven't gotten a response back. I left her a message, but I was going to ask you at this meeting if there was any chance that you could connect with her. if she doesn't, if she screens her calls, I understand as well. Yeah, and so if you could reach out to her as well, she's in there. And there's about 7 applications that I'm looking through as well, and if anybody wants to recommend more people, we can have a larger pool. So,
which districts are we looking to fill still?
We have district 2 at large, 2 and wait, you're 7.
One.
You're 5.
So 4.
4. 2, 4, and 2 at large.
2, 4, 2 at large. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Perfect.
All right.
So I know my friend Sean mentioned that she had also a friend named Muda who may be interested. And so that might be a good one. And I can't remember which district she's from, so I'll follow up with her.
All right.
All right.
Shauna,
do you have anything that you want for open dialogue?
No.
All right. The only thing I wanted to bring up was the school walkout yesterday with student-led. Children all over the country took 17 minutes out of their day to engage in public activism, which I think was incredibly commendable and awesome. And I like to see... youth activism, but particularly youth taking on a proactive role in on a topic that it seems that our leaders have been unable to get anything done in for decades.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really exciting for me to see the high schools in particular in this city encouraging. My son is a student at Highland, and their information was set up from the very beginning saying, you know, if they'd like to participate, fantastic. And if they don't, that's fine as well. So there was no pressure
put
on them. It was very welcoming, very encouraging environment. And that is unfortunately not the atmosphere around the country. There are some schools who told children they would be punished if they took the time out.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I'm glad our city and our schools and our city stepped up and allow that activism to take place.
Right.
All right, that's the only issue I wanted to briefly open dialogue on. So we're at the end of the agenda. If somebody would entertain a motion to suspend the meeting until the first Tuesday of next month.
I'll do that.
Okay, Shauna has made that motion. Nicole, do you second it? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. This meeting is suspended
or
adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All right. I'll change all the stuff.
Okay.
And make sure online, too.
All right. Great.
You'll be seeing our new website, so we're excited for that as well.
All right. Thanks.
The only agenda item I thought of.
Oh.